Good morning, class. I'd like you to turn to Matthew, if you will, please. Matthew 24. Not a Christmas message this morning, but it probably next week we'll begin one, or maybe tonight. And what I'd like to share with you is Brother Hesketh and Alan Lee are both in the hospital in Miami with heart problems. So I know they'd value your prayers on their behalf. Brother Tom has a very bad respiratory infection, and that's not good if you have open heart surgery recently. Brother Roddy knows about it because he had the same thing. And so I'm sure they appreciate your prayers. All right, Matthew 24. What we're going to do, what I want to do, is go through what we call the Olivet Discourse that Jesus gave, the most misunderstood subject today. And I hope that by the time we get through, a lot of the difficulties will be cleared up. But I want to keep this in mind. The passage that we're going to read doesn't have anything directly related to the rapture. You know what the rapture is, don't you? Rapture is when the church is taken out of this world. Rapture means caught up, okay? And the Christmas message this morning, but it probably next week we'll begin one, or maybe tonight. What I'd like to share with you is Brother Hesketh and Alan Lee are both in the hospital in Miami with heart problems. So I know they'd value your prayers on their behalf. Brother Tom has a very bad respiratory infection, and that's not good if you have open heart surgery recently. Brother Roddy knows about it because he had the same thing. And so I'm sure they'd appreciate your prayers. All right, Matthew 24. What we're going to do, what I want to do, is go through what we call the Olivet Discourse that Jesus gave, the most misunderstood subject today. And I hope that by the time we get through, a lot of the difficulties will be cleared up. But I want to keep this in mind. The passage that we're going to read doesn't have anything directly related to the rapture. You know what the rapture is, don't you? Rapture is when the church is taken out of this world. Rapture means caught up, okay? And Jesus is not talking about the rapture, but he's talking about events that will happen after the rapture. You may say, well, is that related to us in any way? Well, there are signs, there's indications that we're getting near home. Won't be long. Many Bible scholars are surprised that we're still here, the church. There's nothing left to be fulfilled regarding prophecy, really. The only thing is his coming. That is the next thing on what we call the prophetic calendar of God. But we want to go through this portion because a lot of people misunderstand it, and I hope we'll be able to help you in some way. Verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, and to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's why we call it the Olivet Discourse, okay, or the Olivet Teaching. You hear a preacher get in the pulpit and he says, the Olivet Discourse, this is what he's referring to, this particular passage. And the disciples came to him privately saying, here are three questions, right? Listen, tell us, when will these things be? That is the time. When is it going to happen? Question number one. And what will be the miracle or the sign of your coming? We've got all kinds of signs already fulfilled, but there's more signs coming, more miracles, more indication coming. But they asked that second question. And then it says, and of the end of the age, not end of the world, as maybe it's in the King James Version. I have King James, but this is the New King James. Some give end of the world, but end of the age. Three questions they asked. And so Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. All right, number one, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We already have the gurus and the prophets and the messiahs that are in the world today. You'd be surprised how many people are claiming that they are Christ. And, you know, it was unheard of many, many years ago. But unashamedly, and you'd be surprised how many people even believe that they're a special messiah come, and many of them become leaders of cults, and it's very sad, the outcome of many of those cults, many of those people that follow these so-called gurus or messiahs, self-acclaimed messiahs, we call them. And so the Lord Jesus said there are going to be many of them, and they will seek to deceive many, but you be careful, all right? Many will come in my name, notice that, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. Then you will hear of war. See, I'm going to teach it as we read the verse. We won't go back over this. Like that'll be easier for you to understand, all right? And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass before the end, but the end is not yet. And for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Well, we get to famines in a little while. Wars. You'll say, well, there's always been wars in the world. David was involved in wars. Rome, we had the Persian Empire. We had the Babylonian Empire. We had the Persian Empire. We had the Grecian Empire. We had the Roman Empire. War. But it's never been a world war until we had World War II. Now, World War I was more just part. But the whole world was thrown into war in World War II. Now, I was born, I was only, 9, 10, 11, something like that, when that war was started. I was about 10. I was born in 29, and the war started in 1939. But at 10 years of age, I was glued to the radio because I had a brother that was overseas. Many Bermudan boys were killed every day in the newspaper. We lost 3 Bermuda boys, and they would give their names. And my brother wasn't saved, and we prayed that the Lord would save him and keep him. Fortunately, 1945, when the war was over, he came home. Boy, we were so glad to see him. It's only natural, because when it's your flesh and blood, the second oldest, but he was not saved. It wasn't until we had a crusade with Brother Allen, Ed Allen, in Bermuda in my assembly, where he gave his heart to the Lord. And we're so glad. And he died at the age of 53 with heart trouble. All the guns and the bullets that went over his head and the bombs that dropped near him, the hand grenade near him, all of that, the Lord preserved him. And yet he died at 53, but thank God he was saved. I tell you, it's important to know the Lord, isn't it? And the Lord answered Mama's prayer and our prayers as well. But 83 million men, or people rather, died in World War II. The Japanese fought America at the same time. Remember, they came in later. Some of you know your history. And it was an awful war. Terrible. Until finally when they dropped the atom bomb, the first invention of a bomb, and the first time it was dropped in Japan, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We used to say Hiroshima, but some English people say Hiroshima. So we're going to be English this morning, all right? And they warned Japan that they had the bomb. But the people didn't believe it, especially the generals, the emperor, and all of them did not believe. They actually dropped pamphlets over these parts of Japan, telling them, advising their superiors to surrender because of the bomb that they had. It was only a small bomb. I think it weighed something like maybe 50 pounds. I'm not even sure of that. But it was a powerful bomb. You know, they didn't listen. Just like we are preaching the gospel today. People do not listen. We talk about hell that's coming. They do not listen. We talk about judgment, and they're not listening. Or if they're listening, they're not obeying the gospel, you see. But they warned them of this awful thing that was going to happen. And when the bomb was finally dropped, because Mr. Truman, who was the president, they had just sunk I think it was the Arizona. I stand to be corrected because I can't remember all of those things. And all of those men went down. They were in the water. Sharks came. They were floating around waiting for somebody to come and rescue. The few boats they had were sunk, the lifeboats. And they were there in the waters, and they held on to one another in huge groups. And the shark would come and take one sailor boy, and shoom, he would disappear, and another would disappear. Several groups like that. It was horrendous. It was horrible. And the Japanese, in desperation, would take their little bombers, the pilots, and it would fly down right into the smokestacks of the ship. They call that suicide, but they have another name for it. And the Japanese, in their last attempt to destroy those boats, that's what they did. And it was horrible. And President Truman says, "I've had enough." You know, God says that too. One of these days, God's going to say, "I've had enough of this world." And he's going to step in. And they dropped that bomb while people were walking. The flesh of the body just disintegrated, melted while they were alive. The eyes, the sockets, the eyes melted. Atomic bomb is an awful bomb. The warfare of hydrogen bomb is terrible. Zechariah said that would happen in the coming day, way back before Jesus was born. Did you know that? And hundreds, thousands of women, children, and men die needlessly because of the stupidity and the arrogance of the leaders of Japan. War? Terrible things of the war. I could tell you some things that will make you feel sick this morning, but I'm not going to go into that. Well, how the Japanese treated the American soldier boys. Terrible. War? Hitler, who was a tyrant, used to read his Bible a lot when he was a boy. He grew up thinking that he was going to please God until he thought that he was God. And what that Mr. Hitler did, didn't need a lot of time to tell you. He was a horrible man. Hatred in his heart, hatred against the Jews. That's why when he was losing the war, as long as Mr. Eichmann told him, called him the Führer, and hail him, Heil Hitler. We killed 5,000 Jews today. And he would smile. Good, good, good. Even though he was losing the war. But as long as they could tell him, to appease him, that they had killed so many Jews, he was happy. Shows you how deranged the man's mind was. And Mr. Hitler sought out to kill 12 million Jews. That's how much he hated the Jews. But he succeeded in killing 6 million. Now, that's a lot of people. I mean, you've heard of the awful Auschwitz chambers, haven't you? You've heard of the terrible things they did to the Jewish people. How many have heard it? Let me see your hand. What they did to the Jewish people in Germany. A lot of them haven't. Well, when they brought them there by train loads, they had these huge buildings. And they said, "We've got new quarters for you and showers and everything. You'll be able to rest in comfort from now on." And the Jewish people that were prisoners were so happy. The women, children, men. And they went in. Hundreds of them crowded into that great room. More than one of these buildings were built, by the way. Then they locked the door. No windows in the building. Then they turned the gas on. From outside. And the people all of a sudden began to feel dizzy and sleepy. And in only a matter of moments, hundreds of those people were dead. And they would take the people out of those buildings. They cut off their scalps, the hair of their head, and they would make mops out of their hair. They would melt their bodies, the flesh down, to make soap. Then they would take their bones and put it in concrete to make walls. If they had gold in their teeth, they would take all the gold from their teeth. That's how cruel Mr. Hitler was. Mr. Eichmann, who was in charge of all of that. And that happened all over. There are pictures. When I was in Israel, they had the museum. I don't know if you that had been there saw it. They took us. It would make you sick. They would line up these people, take all their clothes, and they would shoot them. And they fall in trenches that were made by bulldozers. Huge trenches of graves. Thousands upon thousands during that war. But you know something? The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you know Mr. Eichmann made an escape? And he went to Argentina. And he was there for years. He was the main man. Hitler, of course, committed suicide with his sweetheart. There's one Braun, I believe her name was. And they didn't capture him. But Germany was captured by the Allies, England, Russia, and America. But down in Argentina, Mr. Eichmann thought he was safe. No one knew. Years later, news broke in the headlines that Mr. Eichmann was captured by Israel, Secret Service men, taken to Palestine, to Israel, to stand trial. They had to put a glass, bulletproof glass thing over him because a lot of people would have shot him. He was the cruelest man next to Hitler. To make a long story short, when they found him guilty of the atrocity, along with a lot of other men, by the way, but him in particular, they said, do you have any last requests? He said, yes, I want to be made a Jewish citizen. A Jewish citizen? Why in the world do you want to be made a Jewish citizen? He said, so when you kill me, it'll be another Jew dead. Now that's hatred, isn't it? That's hatred. But that's World War II. Jesus says it's going to be a world war, kingdom against kingdom, nations against nations. You have never had that in the history of mankind until World War II. So you see, class, that was one of the first predictions that Jesus made, or main prediction rather, that's come to pass. It's already happened. Why we're not home in heaven through the rapture, I'm surprised myself. And I'm not going to set no time or date, but that's just the way I feel. Okay? So there'll be nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be what? Come on, verse 7, the center of verse 7. And there will be, let me hear you, famines. We're blessed here in Spanish Wells, are we not? We have so much. We have sometimes 3-4 menus that we set on the table. One child doesn't like this, another doesn't like that. But every time I get on this subject, I always feel tempted to talk about my days. And I ask the Lord to help me not to dwell on my past. But I must tell you this. I didn't know what it was to have a pair of shoes to go to Sunday school. When my mama went to the auctions in the Anglican church, and the clothes she brought back, what we have down here in the care center, that's new clothes what we got down here, almost second-hand clothes maybe, they're new. What I had was second, third-hand maybe, and you couldn't wash it too roughly, they'd tear. I could tell you some sad things. But now we know that soup is the healthiest food you could eat. Mama had that big pot. Soup every day. Soup. Lamb chop, pork chop, steak. Man, that's a joke. I'd wait over in the slaughterhouse. Yeah, Mama would send me over there all the time, and I'd watch them kill the pigs and the cows, and the man knew why I was there. And so when finally when I was there 3 hours, he'd cut a piece of the cow's leg, what we call shank, a little piece about this big. And I'd run home with that, and Mama had all the stuff in the pot. That's one thing. You grew your vegetables in your own yard. We couldn't buy any. And then Mama would cut that up and put that meat in that pot. It was the best pot of soup. I mean, when I talk about a pot, I'm talking about a big pot. And soup, Soup, soup. Now we know it's the healthiest food in the world that you can eat because everything stays in the pot. You know, a lot of people, do they cook the vegetables? They throw the gravy away, the water away from the vegetables. And all the vitamins of the vegetable you throw out in the dump. And so you're just eating vegetables and you're starving to death. No wonder you got to take vitamins all the time. Because there ain't nothing in your food. Now that's another stuff. But famine. Famine. Worldwide, one of the greatest fears today, millions of children today are dying. Every day. Years ago it used to be 10,000. Now it's 1 million or near that are dying. Lack of food. Sores breaking out in their bodies. Their little tummies are swollen because they can't get enough to eat or anything to eat. And they're dying from all kinds of diseases, which is the next thing that Jesus said. There's going to be famines, and it's going to be, what is the next one? What's the next word after famine? Pestilences. You know what pestilence is? What it is? It's diseases. We've got diseases in the world today. In fact, let's talk about the Bahamas. Listen to me carefully, girls, ladies, young boys. One out of every 30 people in the Bahamas is tested now for HIV positive. And all week they've been having what they call AIDS program and helping the AIDS people that are sick with AIDS. Remember, children, AIDS is still an incurable disease. There's no cure for it. Or they might keep you alive a little longer with the medication they have, but they cannot cure anyone of AIDS. One out of every 30, that's 3 in 100 roughly. 1,000 is 10 trees, that's 30. 10,000 is what, 300? So you've got at least 30,000 people that we know of walking the streets or in hospitals with AIDS. Now that's a lot of people. Girls, I didn't mean to say this morning. What God has given you is precious. Keep your body, all right? Keep your body. Don't fall foolishly and headlong into what the gang wants and what they talk about, what they are involved in. Because you're going to be a victim one of these days if you're not careful. You don't want to give in to that kind of thing. Because I've said it once before, you know, these boys, young boys or something, girls give them their bodies because they think they can hold them, you know, and be the, not true! Biggest lie of the devil. They flit around from person to person, and you know when they want to get married, you know what they're going to do? They want to come to another girl just out of Sunday school who's pure. That's what the boys want! You will be a has-been, a washed up. You will be no good. Now, I know I'm talking kind of strong, but I can't help it because I see so much of it today with our young people. And I love you. I love you. We love you. Our church loves you. Our brethren pray for you. The leaders pray for you. Every Saturday morning, did you know that? Crying to God for you. They don't want to see you ruin your life. You will be respected more, honored more, and I'm going to tell you something else. You're the one they're going to want. You know why? Because you've learned to say no. Brother Roddy, am I right or wrong? Brother Freddy? I know it's kind of strong. I didn't mean to say that this morning. But we're talking about pestilence and diseases. There are a host of other diseases that we don't even have names for. And people are dying all over the world from these tragic diseases. Oh my. Not enough doctors to go around, not enough nurses, not enough medication, and it's really sad. But Jesus said, in the last days, there are going to be all these diseases. People didn't believe the Lord, you know. In fact, in the last century, you know what they were saying? We've got education now, medical science, and we're so smart. The time is coming, we're not going to need clinics anymore. There'll be no need of hospitals, and there'll be no need of prisons. Tell me something, do you need prisons today? We don't even know what's happening. Because there's another subject in itself. The crime wave in the Bahamas. I don't know what it is this morning, but the last we heard was, what, 73 murders are committed in the Bahamas this year? What if our judicial system is so bad? What's happening? We can't even keep the murderers in prison. We let them out on bail. And the same ones we let out on bail are killing again. It's such a stupid system. And then the leaders of government, both sides, are wondering why we have crime on the increase.
I don't want
to get any more on that stuff. We're talking about pestilences now, diseases. But one of the diseases that we need to see curing is a disease of the heart, where Christ needs to come in. We need a revival in the Bahamas, an awakening, a spiritual awakening in the Bahamas. That's the cure. To bring murders down and crime down. Pestilences. Oh my. What about earthquakes? In various places. The idea is all over the world. A scientist said, if we have a meteorite, you know what a meteorite is? A break off of some planet, like granite, that soars through the atmosphere, it doesn't have to hit the Bahamas or hit our, the world or Earth. If it comes just so near, it could cause the Earth to tilt. Now, I never knew that. I thought it had to hit the Earth, you know, but I read a scientific thing in Mr. McDonald's book. I wish I would have written it down, and because it's far better for me to read it, and I'm just going to cite this. He said, just near enough where the Earth will tilt a bit, then he said, what would happen? Most of the Earth, low-lying areas would be flooded out. The little flood in Long Island would be just a baby flood. The Bahamas would be completely covered over with water. Earthquakes would happen with such proportion, and he described the earthquakes. And we have 100 times more earthquakes now than we did 2,000 years ago. Scientists are trying to keep it down. I know it said, oh, we always had earthquakes, but honest scientists are saying that's not true. We have the rapidity and of earthquakes rapid. They're coming faster and more now than any time in the history of man. And this scientist said, you think the hurricanes we've had was bad in the past? He said the hurricanes that would come would be so devastating, it would be like one giant tornado. Nothing will stand in its way. That's how bad it'll be. Now, he's just talking about a huge chunk of rock, mile or 2 miles long, just coming near the earth. But God is in control of all that. That's probably coming in time. Earthquakes are terrible. Or the tremors. You could be in a town. I talked to a friend of mine in ZNS. He was down south, and they had a tremor where the bathroom was shaking, the building. I said, were you scared, Mr. Russell? He said, man, I've never been so scared in all my life. I was dying to get back to the Bahamas with our hurricanes. We've been witnessing to him. Pray for Mr. Russell. Promoted in ZNS. And earthquakes. Must be terrible. Just think over there in Japan recently. Thousands of people just swallowed up. India, China, don't tell you too much about it. The greatest losses of people in earthquakes is in China. But it's a communist country, and they don't say a lot about it. But everywhere you turn now, a little fault in San Francisco the other day, early part of 1900, they had a bad one. Over 5,000 people died in San Francisco. That's a great home now of the lesbians and homosexuals, by the way. And Hollywood is no exception either. It's one of the great sin holes of the world. In L.A., Los Angeles right now, they've had quakes, tremors. But they believe that when they have their big one, L.A., Los Angeles will just come from the United States and drift out in the ocean and submerge.
Be that as it may, the Bible is being fulfilled all about us. Jesus said these things will come in unprecedented measures or quantity. So you see, there's going to be some terrible days on the earth. Listen to this now. All these are what? The beginning of sorrows. That's just the beginning. My word, if that's the beginning, what's the end going to be like? You ever thought of that? Well, Jesus tells us. He gives us a little glimpse. Listen now. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. He's not speaking of the church now. So then kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Even though that's coming after the rapture, it's already here. A million Christians, perhaps in the last 10 years, have been murdered for the sake of Christ. According to Dr. Kennedy recently when he was speaking on it. Do you know the other day, in North Korea. By the way, North Korea is more people are getting saved in North Korea than anywhere in the world. You know how? By radio, listening to the little transistor radios. That's all they got. They're hungry, they're starving to death. Yet you know what they want? Batteries. They'd rather have batteries than food. The little food they get, they can survive on. But they want to hear the gospel. And they want batteries for the little transistor radios. You see, North Korea is communist. And they can detect the transistor listening to these people. Well, every time they catch them, like 200 Christians they caught not long ago, they made them march off this bridge into freezing water with the point of a gun. They had to jump or be killed by shooting. And so the Christians jumped off the bridge, and just 10 minutes, they were frozen to death. Four girls in Indonesia were cut up with cutlasses. One of them survived, huge, awful scar on her body. You know what's a crime? Just being a Christian. We could go on and on in the eastern part of the world where many of them are being put to death. So we have having Christians that are slain. But Jesus is talking about something worse that's coming after the church is taken out of the world. Man, it's serious. And will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another. People will give up their so-called profession, and they will tell that my mother is a follower of the Messiah. We're talking about mostly Jewish people here now. They will betray one another, and they will hate one another. Family will be against family, just to save their own skin, you see. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. They'll say, look, they had a rapture not long ago, and thank God all the Christians are taken out of the world. And if there are any followers of Christ, let's put them to death as well. And they will be followers of Christ later on. I can't tell you how long after the rapture. I really don't know. People always ask the question, will anybody get saved in Spanish Wells? I hardly think so. You know why? Because you're going to be along the bread line. You've heard the gospel so many times. And the people in the world have never heard the gospel. And that's what's going to be the gospel of the kingdom that's going to be preached. A lot of preachers today believe that you got to preach the gospel for the whole world to hear it now. You know, that's not taught in the Bible. But after the rapture, it is taught that the whole world will hear the message. Now, that might be debatable with some people, but however, our aim is still to reach the world if we can. Don't misunderstand me. The Lord has taken out of the world a people for his name, called a church, okay? The word church, ecclesia, big word. You know what it means? Called out ones, all right? Called out ones. And so the Lord is saying they're going to be false prophets then. They're going to deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, friend, we've got that in the world today. No capital punishment, so they kill one another. I was surprised how many, the percentage, Mr. Turncrest gave the other night of domestic murders in the Bahamas. Homes, quarrels, squabbles, then dope-related murders, and many other that were cited. And because lawlessness will abound. Would you want to be living here after the rapture? When the church is gone? You won't want to come out of your house. The Spirit of the Lord will take the church home and will work like he did in Old Testament times, and you will be fearful, you'll be scared to death, your life will be in danger, your daughters will be raped. Man, it's going to be a horrible time after the rapture. You cannot imagine it. This is already, we see that now, but after the rapture, that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about lawlessness that will happen. And the love of many will grow cold. Now, has that started yet? The love of many growing cold? You better believe it. Jesus said, when he comes, that the love of many will wax cold. And when he comes, will he find what? Faith on the earth? There's going to be a falling away? According to Thessalonians, many are falling away. And he says, and the love of many will grow cold. But he, now, that's why I say a lot of people don't understand this passage. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And a lot of people today, some churches, certain groups, believe that you have to endure to the end in order to be saved, you see? And they take this verse, and they use this verse. How are you saved? Only through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If you had to endure to be saved, you'd never make it. You and I would be lost in hell tomorrow or the day after, the day following that. You cannot endure this. The endurance that Jesus is speaking about, that if you name the name of Jesus, I've got to sort of skip a lot here this morning. If you say that you are a follower, you will not have a mark put on your hand or on your forehead. The mark of the beast, 666. Whatever that means, but you won't be able to buy nor sell. Your mommy could go to the grocery shop and fearfully shaking, trembling, where's your mark? Oh, I haven't received a mark yet. You can't buy here. You can't buy nothing here. And if she's not careful, like Jesus says, flee to the mountains. Now I'm cutting a lot out. I have to because time is nearly gone. But it's an important part. Keep in mind that enduring to the end has nothing to do with now. We do endure in a sense, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about in the face of the Antichrist, that who demands that you have your this number in your forehead and on your hand, you can't buy or sell, you can't get a job, you can't work, you can't get any money, you can't get any food. That's why a lot of people are going to join the breadbasket line. Rather than you think they're going to, like some of them going to step up and say, put the number here, man. Put it here. Put it on my hand. So he could get in the bread line and get something to eat. All right. Then Jesus said something else. When you see the time of desecration spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Ah, boy. That's another subject from then on. That is horrible. What is the desolation, the desecration? I like to use that word. Remember what Daniel had, Nebuchadnezzar put up that big image? Well, the Antichrist is going to put up a huge image. And those that don't bow to that image, take that mark in their hands and their forehead, they're going to be put to death. And Jesus said, run to the desert, run to the mountains, flee. He says something like this, if you're in the field, in the farm, when this happens, don't even go and change your clothes. That's what he means. Go and run. Run. And get out of the city. Flee. Your life will be in danger. And he says, and you poor women that are expecting a child, I'm sorry for you. Now tell me something. When the rapture takes place, does it matter whether a woman with child or not? You see, Jesus is not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the tribulation period. the desecration that the Antichrist will put up that big image, that's the beginning of the greatest sorrow this world has ever known. In fact, Jesus said, unless those days should be shortened, no flesh will be saved. Thousands and thousands of people will be put to death. Pray that it will be not in winter. What difference does it make with the rapture, whether it's winter or summer? You know, but because they have to travel. I went down in Petra. I don't think I'll ever go again. I thought I was going to die by the time. They say at least 1 million people now, they've discovered, could live down in that, those rocks in the mountain. People lived in that over the years, 400,000 people. And they survived from their enemies. I can see why. Whether Petra is one of them, I don't know. But Jesus said, get out of the city. Get out. Flee, flee, flee. And there's so much more in the passage. Now, I know that's not very pleasant, this message this morning, is it? But it's necessary because there's a lot of confusion. It's called the what? The Olivet Discourse. Repeat that after me for the sake of the young people, all right? Olivet Discourse. Don't be afraid. Let me hear you. Olivet Discourse. Because Jesus taught it when he was in the Mount of Olives. And it has to do with the tribulation period after the rapture, okay? Now, when you read that, it's a lot more. Read it as your homework, and you'll be able to get a picture of it. And I hope I didn't confuse you any. I hope I gave enough to explain it, and that you'll be able, as you read it in the future, know what you're reading, okay? I know it's not a pleasant subject, but I've been so burdened about it lately. Maybe it should have been on a Sunday night. I don't know. But however, that's the burden of my heart. I might not be here Sunday night, so I got to preach it while I can. Okay? God bless you. You've been so attentive and so nice this morning, so quiet. Okay? Would one of the brethren close in prayer for me, please?